The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 325. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brett Murdoch.
What's up, people?
This is all you get tonight, people. Four down. Four down.
You're the four down.
You know? By the way, apologies to the guys in the Twitch. They're like, yo, you guys are starting late tonight. I was like, oh, yeah, we got into this deep conversation about, like, cities and shit beforehand. I lost track of the time, man. Shit is crazy right now. But, yeah, no Chris action tonight.
We call that the pre-down.
The pre-down, yeah. So Chris is out. You know, he's tired. Adam, I don't know what's going on with him. I think he ate some bad food or something.
He got sick, yeah. Yeah, he had a stomach thing.
Fucking Brian, who knows? He's probably playing too much Monster Hunter right now. By the way, we played Monster Hunter with Brian last night. It was very interesting. We don't play games with Brian too much because he's always on the PC, but he's playing Monster Hunter with us.
I mean, you guys were doing the Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. He was pissing off Carlos, you know, cheating.
Always, man. I could have sworn that he played Monster Hunter with us once.
No, he never did.
He never played a demo.
He hung out in like a chat one time. That's about it. Damn, oh, Blitz said, does Brian suck at games? Is that why he plays on PC? Damn. Oh, man. All right, people. I wonder what we're
going to talk about. According to him, he is the ultimate gamer. Yeah.
By the way, we were going to talk about Bethesda tonight, but I decided we're going to talk for 3 hours about the Justice League Snyder Cut. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
Let's do it, man. It's not April Fool's yet.
Not yet.
Damn it. Let's do this.
But I do have an announcement to make. I kept teasing this shit, trying to come up with something fancy. I'm like, I'm not going to do nothing fancy. Got a free game to give away tonight, people.
Uh-oh. This
is Immortals Fenyx Rising for the PS5. And we're going to be giving it away to somebody in the chat tonight. So once the room fills up even more. We're going to give this away. We're going to spin the throwdown wheel, you know, and somebody's going to get lucky tonight, boy, you know.
Make the deal. You spin the wheel.
Wouldn't it be funny if somebody wins this shit, they don't even have a PS5? Hey, maybe it's something you get, you know, for when you get a PS5. But here you go, physical copy. You see it right there. I don't need to explain. I'm not giving this away to any of the listeners. This is for the guys in here right now. So there you go. Yeah. You can see the box, you know. Won't play on your PS4. Only on PS5. You know,
though it might just download the PS4 version.
No, they actually fixed that finally. You know,
oh, they did. Okay,
and I've said this on the show before too. This fucked up, but I'm just being real. The main reason I'm giving this away because I was gonna keep it for myself, but after putting a disc into my PlayStation, I'm like, nope, I'm not dealing with this shit. So I'm like, give it to a fan. So there you go. I'm not dealing with disc anymore. Fuck that shit. You know.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We expected the PlayStation 5 to be fucking quiet, and nope. We kind of just expected the PlayStation 5 disc drive to also be quiet. I mean, yeah. I thought that was kind of a reasonable assumption. Now I'm glad I went with the discless.
Yeah, we got one out of two at least. The PlayStation's quiet, disc drive is not. Disc drive is as loud as the fucking PS4, man. Regular PS4, just the disc drive on the, you know?
The PlayStation 4 disc drive is also unusually loud. Now, here's a crazy question. How does the Xbox disc drive sound?
Yeah, Brett, how is
it? Has anybody tried this?
Is it whisper quiet, Carlos?
I know. Brett? I know. He's got it there too.
Like, damn, Brett.
Carlos, Brett, have you stuck a disc inside of your Xbox?
Ooh, kinky.
It's fucking actually, it's really surprisingly quiet. It kind of makes it doesn't make a vroom sound as much as a kind of sound, and then pretty fucking quiet.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I did put a movie in, and I put some Xbox 360 games Nope, I didn't hear anything. I mean, it. I wasn't paying attention. Like, I wasn't specifically focusing on that, but I did notice it. So it's way better than the PS5. That's all I can say.
Hmm. Keep vamping. I got to pimp this shit. So just vamp about whatever.
Interesting. So it's like it's funny with all this. The stuff that they put into the PlayStation 4. It's like, oh, we put a giant fan in there so it's quiet, and we put this thing in. But the one thing that the one thing that looks like the odd man out on a PlayStation 5, that bump for the for the disc drive, that's the area they didn't decide to put any sort of dampening on.
Well, you know what it is. It was, I think they wanted this thing to be just digital, you know? They were like, people want disc drives, stick it in there.
Cerny's like, you know, we should put a disc drive in this.
if you look at the PS5, like the one with the disc, it looks weird. You know,
I mean, you can see it right there on Carlos's screen right there. Yeah. You can see.
I'm looking at this motherfucker right here. You guys don't see it, but it's like this motherfucker right here. This shit right here.
Luffy's standing in front of it on his end, you know, hiding the bump. Luffy.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being an asshole. Rufy?
What is his name? Rufy in the Japanese one? They call him that?
No, it's Luffy. It's Luffy. Monkey Luffy. Rufy.
Homeboy's called Rufy?
I'm being an asshole. He's not called Luffy. I'm being an asshole. All right, man. Let's get into it, man. So the big news of the... Yo, I just got to say this, man. Every time I tweeted about this shit, because we had... something happened on Tuesday. I think they made an announcement.
They finally finalized. So
Monday, we're talking about Bethesda, as you can see from the title. Actually, I got to get the Chiron up here first. But anyway, so every time I tweeted about this shit, my notifications lit the fuck up.
No, man, people did not want to hear what you had to say, man.
But here's the thing, and Brett, you'll love this part. The first thing I tweeted that got a lot of craziness, all I literally said was Microsoft finalized its deal with Bethesda. That was it. Motherfuckers went nuts. Fighting. You know? And here's the thing. Most of the time, they're not fighting with me. They're fighting amongst each other. You know? But then I came out and I said, oh no, what happened was...
Here's the thing, I think, bro. It's funny. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people before and now, you know, when the acquisition happens, a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's not a big deal. It's no fucking big deal. Before that, even they're like, oh, Bethesda's a throwaway company. They only make trash games, blah, blah, blah. Now we're all sitting here, and it's funny because everybody's trying to act like it's not a big deal. Like, it's like trying to be like subtle about asking whether, you know, a cute girl is single or not like that. They're like, so I mean, what's up with that, like, Elder Scrolls? Like, is it like coming to like PlayStation or like, you know, I mean, I don't really care, but like, I'm just wondering if Elder Scrolls is coming to PlayStation because, you know, other people want it. It's not me. It's other people. And it seems to be passing along. People are talking about this shit way too much to not fucking care about.
Word.
And yet, PlayStation fanboys, much like a cat that fell off the counter, just want to act like, nothing happened.
Yeah. But again, like you said, it's like, you know, these guys are saying, oh, I don't care. You guys care a lot. Look at my comments. That's all I'm saying. So obviously, I've been very vocal about me saying that I don't think Microsoft spent $7.5 billion to be giving its games away. They're going to have exclusives, right? So Microsoft put out this statement, wishy-washy statement on Monday, right? Saying like, oh, some games will be coming, right? They didn't clarify that. Everybody started coming at your boy. Like, oh, take the L, Tony. Take the L. You're wrong. Word. We're going to talk about today's statement. I want to see where these motherfuckers are. These same assholes who were coming at me on Monday, right? None of them said anything. When Phil Spencer said... we made this deal specifically to have exclusives. These same guys, nothing. They didn't say shit. Hey, Tony, my bad. I said you should take the L. They don't say that shit. You know? Very funny. But we'll get into that later. Anyway, let's get into it.
He kind of said in that sort of press release that there was going to be, he said this thing about the exclusive and the other little press release he released on the day of, too.
Yeah.
But go on.
Let's get into it. So at the beginning of the week, we had the finalization of this deal, right? And now today, they had like an hour-long presentation just talking about what people can expect, how excited the teams were. You know, they did like a little roundtable. I'll get into it later, but I'm just, you know, this is the me being objective. I liked the presentation. I thought it was good, right? Very kind of casual, chill presentation. They're just sitting around talking. minimal PR speak. There was some of it, obviously. We'll get into that. But it was a good presentation, right? Gets people hype, right? But, you know me. I'm a news guy, right? By trade, I wanted some fucking news. But Microsoft did temper expectations by saying, we're not going to have any news, or maybe just one or two things. That's it. So I knew that going in, but I was still a little disappointed that there was no news. But, you know, the main thing we're going to talk about tonight is what Phil Spencer said. He said, and I'm paraphrasing right here, basically, legacy games, right? As I now understand, legacy for software means shit that has already come out, right? Legacy stuff, that's not nothing. Nothing's changing, right? It's going to remain on multi-plats, right? Elder Scrolls Online, whatever online games or whatever, there was going to remain, you know, everywhere. Games like Deathloop and all these other games that are already contractually obligated to be on PlayStation, they're going to be left alone. But he said, not in these words, that's my sticking point, but he said that aside from that, exclusives. Bethesda games are going to be exclusive to Xbox and Xbox Game Pass and platforms that have Game Pass, right? He didn't say it in those exact words. That was my kind of sticking point. Like, I wish he would have just flat out said it. Old shit is going to remain. Yeah, he's not going to because he's a PR guy. I wanted him to say that, but after, you know, divining the tea leaves and shit, that's the conclusion I've come down to.
Okay, he said you can't say new things will only be coming to Xbox, so that's going to piss people off, right? So you can't say old stuff is staying on everything, new stuff is coming to Xbox. You can't say that. So you just say the old stuff is coming to everything, and then leave the other half in the air. But they did fucking say that games that they have contracts with, they're going to uphold. Games that they have communities on, things like Elder Scrolls and like continued revenue games, they're going to be on. But that Xbox is committed to focusing on exclusives for Game Pass.
Yes.
Which is all you need to hear. You are not getting Elder Scrolls. You're not.
Yeah, but the problem is, and again, my problem is, and I know, Brett, they're not going to do it. I just wish the language is more direct because people are going to go, oh, wait, they said it's only going to be on Game Pass. What if this happens? What if that happens? They're trying to find any way to get these games on PlayStation is what's going on, you know?
Go ahead,
Manny, go ahead, Brett.
So I was going to say, though, like, again, they have to sort of keep it that way because if they were to say something totally and utterly direct, the minute that happens, that shoots them and that literally starts giving them bad press. So it's got to be semi, like, you know, okay, we are, but a little wishy-washy because they literally put a flag in it and it said, no, you know, Bethesda games will not be coming out on any other console except for except for Game Pass and Xbox and PC. I don't think you'll ever hear that sort of speak from them.
Microsoft is very, like, here's the one interesting thing I've heard from a lot of people, like, Microsoft's so much of a good guy to do that. Like, that's kind of interesting. I thought they were fucking evil.
Microsoft
likes its player base. That's a hard concept to understand as a Sony fan, I get.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man.
I'm just kidding. There's a burn.
I think the thing about it is that, they want, it's not has nothing to do with them being a nice guy, but they are trying. And this goes back to classic Xbox, where they were trying to be the people. You know, we are the gamers. You are the gamers. You know, stuff like that sort of thing. So they've sort of gone back to that we're higher than you, TV, TV, TV bullshit, to like, no, we're one of you. We like games. You know, we want to make games everywhere, which is what they want.
Yeah, they're trying to be everybody's friend right now.
Dude, Tony, here's the thing. And, like, you and I have talked about this before. Like, companies aren't people. They don't have feelings or anything like that. But, like, everything isn't that cut and dry. There can be people in a company who are excited about the position that they're in and the product that they're making. Yes, I do tattoos for a living. I get paid for them. Do I sometimes get excited about them? Absolutely. I'm sure Manny, you still get excited about drawing things sometimes, even when you're paid for them, right?
Like, I totally get. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, I've done this. I've been working in the industry since early 2000s, right? You know, working in television and comics and all kinds of stuff. I still get a kick from that shit when I see something I worked on the shelf or actually something, you know, on TV.
Hold on. why are we talking about excitement? What does that have to do with anything?
My point to you is that the people who comprise the Xbox division, right? They've changed over the years. At one point, they were the original group, and they believed in gaming. They believed in trying to make a game by the people, for the people, or a system by the people, for the system, all that, because they were huge fans. And then we got a bunch of corporate asshats put in charge. But now it seems like there are people who genuinely like what they do and appreciate the community that they're working in. So that's not to say that they're a nice guy or that they, you know, they're good people or they, or anything like that. But like to say that everything is purely profit driven, I think is reducing it beyond the nuances that it requires.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, not everything
about that though. I wasn't talking about that. Go ahead, Carlos.
Not everything is profit driven, but everything wouldn't exist if it wasn't for profit. So bottom line is.
But that's what I'm saying. I could do a tattoo that I can do a tattoo, and I'm getting paid for it, and that's purely profit driven at the end of the day. But I can also like it, and that can have me put
passion. Yeah, but that's just a like cool story, bro, kind of thing. Because you know these things are, they're not really, you know, whether the developers are good people or not, or whether they have good intentions or not, it all depends on the end product and what the vision is. Because at the end of the day, you can't trust these people, even if they have the best intentions, because that's when, you know, the CD Projekt Red, they were the classic example of developers of that were, you know, the good guys, and they failed. So, you know, it's
but see, at the end of the day, that's expecting things. I'm talking about in hindsight. Like, you can look at something a company has done and be like, oh, like when CD Projekt Red put out a bunch of extra art books, you can look at that and be like, oh, well, I can just assume that they're trying to be nice guys. Not that they're, you know, this is some incredibly driven thing. And nobody is smart enough to try and think, at least that I've fucking seen, nobody's smart enough to think like, well, if we put an extra booklet in a game now, when we release another game in 7 years, we're going to have the goodwill of the player base and sell millions more copies. Like, even though that seems like a pretty fucking simple solution, nobody's come up with it. Nobody can plan that far ahead. Nobody's that much of a fucking mastermind releasing these things. So why did Witcher add all these game books and everything like that? Well, the only thing that stands the reason, they were excited about their game. They were trying to be nice guys. Sure, it's profit-driven, but it also changes the outcome depending on what the intent is. Intent is an important factor to assuming these things, as well as outcome, 100% as well as outcome. And I'm not saying that you should ever, ever, ever trust a studio or a brand to do something that you want or expect them to do, right? Never read the tea leaves. Never look in the crystal ball because you're going to be disappointed. But when a company does something, you can look back and say, oh, well, that was pretty neat of them to do. Seems like they went the extra step. And yeah, maybe that extra step is about fucking getting your business. But if you want to be that cynical about it, that can lead to everything. Like, well, why does somebody want to be their friend? Want to be your friend? Well, they probably want something from you in the future. Nobody is friend. Nobody maintains a one-sided friendship forever. Every personal relationship is about give and take.
They're different. These are corporations, and you're comparing it to friendships. Like what you get off of, for example, the friendship with us is that we get to talk about video games and we get to play video games together. That's what you get. That's a reward you get for being our friend. These people, the only relationship that we have with the corporations is they get the money from us, we get the experience. That's it.
Yeah. My point on that comment was, if you want to be so cynical as to try and find the selfish driving point behind every single action of everybody, you can find so. But I can tell you, at least in small business terms, that sometimes we just like our customers. Sometimes we just like the people that patronize our business, or that buy our commissions, or that come to our website. I mean, the fucking podcast is the same thing right here. At the end of the day, what are we? We're profit driven, aren't we? I mean, not
this podcast. Not this fucking podcast, boy.
Just waiting for my first paycheck, man. Come on.
Go ahead. Because I got a question.
The website, the coalition, should be and is profit motivated. But it's also more than that. So I'm not saying that everybody is a good fucking guy and the companies are your friends or any of this shit. I'm just saying that to distill it down to just the sign of the almighty dollar, I mean, I don't think that's... I don't think it's.
By the way, I think we're getting off track right now because I'm like, what are we talking about? Again? But the point.
Four chaps in the head and a light week. Let us vamp.
Yeah. Bethesda. Let's talk about Bethesda.
I've said this before. Like, I even said this on Twitter. I'm not interested in any Bethesda titles. It's literally the games that they make, first person shooters and Western RPGs are not my thing. You know, even like stuff like that. But I had to say that I did enjoy that presentation that they put on today. And I also say that in general, out of any company that could have ever been connected to Microsoft, Bethesda is that company because they are literally the history of Western developed games. You talk about id Software, which is the company that literally created created the first person shooter. And then we talk about legacy titles like legacy RPGs like Fallout and Elder Scrolls and all the other different things that they have over there. If out of anything, that's probably the best fit they could have ever gotten as far as first party development studios.
Yeah, they definitely fit with Microsoft. You know, Western studio, Western publisher definitely works. I thought the whole thing was good right from the beginning, Mike, because again, the problem with Game Pass, which is what Microsoft's main thing right now, what they're trying to push, it's a great, again, I know some guys are going to push back on this. Xbox is, or Xbox Game Pass, great service, right? You get fucking all these games for $15 a month. Fantastic. Problem is the games aren't fucking compelling. Nobody cares.
Now they have compelling games are the older ones.
Been out for a while. Like I said, if Sony or Nintendo had their own version of Game Pass, the shit would have blown the fuck up, right? Microsoft
because they all have talking points, things that just came out that people are sort of really want. At least at this point in time, Microsoft doesn't have those sorts of things. The Halos have been pushed back. You have whatever's left of those original Microsoft sort of titles. Then you have Bethesda stuff.
Think about it. Tomorrow, or by the time you guys are listening to this now, 20 more Bethesda games on Xbox Game Pass. That's pretty good. And then, of course, in the future, what are you going to get? You're going to get Elder Scrolls 6. You're going to get Fallout 5. Starfield exclusive day one on Game Pass.
Fallout 77.
So, yeah, but the point is, like, that makes it very enticing to people because people love Bethesda games, right? So it's a very smart move. It was one of the best moves I've ever seen done in all of video games. Fantastic. Like I said, the only thing like I could see that's on this level of like magnitude is when Sega left manufacturing hardware. Like, that's how big this shit is. And something like this hasn't happened in decades. So this is huge for Microsoft. And
it's not a big deal. I don't really play much.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and this is the other part I want to talk about. But it is a gamble, though. At the end of the day, it's still a gamble, right? Microsoft is gambling that, or betting, right? Gambling, better, same fucking thing. That people will specifically on, mobile, right, are going to jump on Game Pass and potentially get billions of people on there. If that happens, huge. But right now, we're not seeing any of those signs yet. But if that happens, forget about it. Because at the end of the day, it's not about selling consoles for Microsoft. They even said it. Not about consoles. It's about software. It's about subscriptions. And if they launch that shit, forget about it.
Which, in general, is the thing. How many times have we said that, in the beginning, when it comes to consoles, these companies know they're going to be losing money on these consoles, on the manufacturing of these consoles. Where are they going to be making making their money back? It's going to be on the software. So now now you have two different portions of where Microsoft can make money, including, and then also if the mobile catches up. Right, so you have literally the Xbox, and then you have the PC, and then you got it right there. You don't even need to own an Xbox in order to play these games.
Yeah,
if you want to play the new, play the new Halo or play any of those games, then they're all going to be available, which is perfect.
Real quick, can I just point out something?
Mm-hmm.
Another way to say what Manny has or Manny just said, is this will be available on literally everything but PlayStation. Nintendo Switch doesn't count because it's a hand.
Yeah. Well, and again, like this, you know, this is
coming
also
to phones. It's coming to your goddamn phones.
Oh, it works. Yeah. By the way, Game Pass is already on your phones, but
that's my point. Like when they release something on Game Pass, at least for the most part, where they're like, oh, you know, is this exclusivity or, you know, is this, you know, it's going to come out on Windows and PC. Like, people seem to think that it's like, oh, it's PlayStation or Xbox, right? It's no. These situations are PlayStation and then every other device that you own.
Yes.
Microsoft is playing the long game here. They're not. Yeah. They're thinking beyond just console wars. They're, again, what is Microsoft at the end of the day? They're a software company, so it makes sense they're doing this. And I've said this many, many times. The only way you're going to play new Bethesda games on your PlayStation is whenever Microsoft decides to put Game Pass on PlayStation. That's it. That's the only way you're going to get them. You know?
Oh, yeah. When they sign that deal. But I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure if they'll ever do that, especially since Sony has a sort of competing. So it has a sort of competing, thing.
Yeah. But again, like we always said, Microsoft and Sony teaming up, that's not out of the they already do that. Think about it. Where does Microsoft get their Blu-rays from? They get them from Sony. Where does Sony get their online shit? They get them from Microsoft, right? Them coming together, we'll see. The two you'll never see, and then we'll get back on topic, Nintendo and Sony, that's never going to fucking happen.
Tony,
what's up?
Tony.
By the way, throw it on his end, profit driven, but we're gonna have merch for you guys. Anyway, gotta have something. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, also, a little plug on that. Yeah, we also have a Discord server for that.
Yeah, so you guys are giving us some great ideas. Anyway, Bray, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I lost it.
Oh well, damn it. Oh well.
What was the last thing you said?
The last thing I said was about Game Pass on PlayStation.
No, it's gone.
Oh well.
Move along.
Oh yeah, Nintendo versus that Sony and Nintendo.
Oh yeah, no, that was my question. Yeah. I know that they work together, but taking on somebody's business or gaming streaming model onto your console, that's like and maybe I'm being weird here, but that feels like an awfully, like, that's pretty much bowing your head to your competition, and for a culture is, you know, I'm not saying that Japan is honor bound or that they have an obsession with it or anything like that, but like, it just almost feels like a shameful thing, like crawling on your knees to have your competitor put games on your system for you. I don't know if Sony would do that just based on that.
Here's the thing. Sony,
the company, seems to have pride.
Here's the thing, though. I would have agreed with you a year ago, but now that Sony is effectively an American company, I don't know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Think about that. A year ago, I would have 100% agree with you, but now I don't know, man. With Jim Ryan running shit, I don't know.
Jim Ryan has no honor.
Yeah, think about it. Where's Sony's headquarters right now? It's not in Japan. It's in Los Angeles. Sony's worldwide headquarters is Los Angeles now. They're an American company.
Has no honor.
Yep, no honor. He shamed us.
Or PlayStation worldwide, where headquarters is Los Angeles.
Yeah, PlayStation.
But yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, we'll have to see how this happens, but yeah, it's already starting. A lot of games, Bethesda games, are coming to Game Pass starting tomorrow, and future ones, you know, they're going to be exclusive.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I got three things.
Uh-oh.
The first one is a joke that I was going to say like 10 minutes ago, but I'll still say it. So, Microsoft is thinking beyond, you know, console gaming, and they're essentially thinking beyond two souls. All right, that's the first one. Second one, is this already available on iOS Game Pass? Because I don't know, I haven't heard anything about it. I
thought it was.
I don't know. I
correct us in the chat.
Remember they got rid of the whole thing because, you know, they had those issues.
Yeah.
And it was only available on Android. So that's number two. Number three. Since the beginning, I love this move, the whole Bethesda deal, because it propels Game Pass, the service. Game Pass is something I've always been fond of since day one, even though I do agree with all the limitations that Tony's mentioned about, you know, the compelling titles from day one. But it's building, and with Bethesda, it gets even better and even more potential. And not only that, just for that fact, but the fact that this type of thing is going to fucking, it has to And if it's not, it's going to eat them alive, is light a fire under Sony's ass. Because they're slacking it when it comes to this aspect of gaming. Well,
they may double down on the single player stuff, man.
But the thing is, now with this deal, Brett, Microsoft's going to have a heaping injection of single player games. Great ones. You know,
yeah, and Sony just so happened to close one of the most important portions of their company.
Yeah,
this is true. Carlos, do you think this legitimizes Game Pass as a service?
I mean, I've always thought it was legitimate.
Yeah,
like for us, we were sort of. I mean, I've been a Game Pass subscriber since I think day one, I didn't speak as highly, even though I've always said it's the best deal in gaming. But I've never been as bullish on it because, you know, a lot of the titles that I want to play, I play them day one. So that's the only reason. But yeah, I've always been bullish on Microsoft, on Game Pass.
Well, no, I mean, in a sense, like, I've always liked the idea too. There's just something like when. If somebody's like, "Oh, we're gonna have a baking competition," like, "Okay, cool, we're gonna rent out this big place for it. Cool, we're gonna get judges and professional judges. All right, cool. It's sponsored by Pillsbury. Okay, that just took it to a whole new level, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel. What happened with Game Pass? Like, it was a great product already, and it already had legitimate. But to be joined by, arguably one of the biggest companies in gaming as a first party provider. It takes it up a notch, I feel like. And I think that might be the thing a lot of people could have been waiting for, because I won't say Game Pass was twisting in the wind, but it wasn't like, you know, a household name success the way that they were waiting for it to be. And with the addition of Bethesda, I think it kind of pushes it over that edge. That's what I meant when it legitimized it. Never that it's been illegitimate or brushed off or anything like that. I just feel like when you add a power of a huge company like that, even when it's to the power of something already like Sony or Microsoft or something like that, it's you know, one big company is a thing. Two big companies, now you got something else entirely.
Yeah, and yeah. That's what I said. This is the thing Xbox Game Pass needed, because before this it was floundering, man. I mean, it was doing okay, but it wasn't like great, you know. And even Guy Greenberg said it was not a profit maker at all. You know, this will, you know, probably push it over the edge now, especially when those new games start dropping.
Can I have the last word?
Mm-hmm. If you want. Are we done with this topic?
All right. So the last
done with the topic.
I had it over done with the topic yet, bro. But you could have a word though. How about that? I'll give you a word.
Okay. I'll wait for the last word.
Okay. Try and make a joke.
Okay. So
go ahead, Manny.
Another interesting thing. You know, this is just sort of interesting things that I noticed about watching this show. Phil Spencer was harping quite a bit on id Software's engine, number one, talking about it quite a bit. Talking about how it ran, how a lot of it worked. I don't know if this is even possible, but what if, just for the sake of conversation, that they used this, Microsoft decided, hey, you know, we're just going to scrap these other engines, some of the engines that we're using, and we're just going to move straight to id.
It could. That's a possibility now, because that is effectively a Microsoft engine now, you know.
And the other thing, you know, also they also can license the engine out, kind of like what Epic does with Unreal. Number two, what was the other? There's another thing. Also, he did mention, very interestingly, again, with id in there, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we could have id, you know, now id and, you know, and the Coalition are talking and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, I see what's going on. It's not that, you know, I'm sure, yeah, they're going to be communicating, but it's like, I'm sure that he's thinking about ways that he could sort of improve the Halo Infinite, especially from whatever it was. Well,
the before. Coalition's Gears of War.
Coalition? Yeah, Coalition. Which one was the other one?
343 is the.
Yeah, he said both of those studios.
Yeah. I would be surprised if they get the id guys like, hey, listen, these are the guys who created the modern day first person shooter. Maybe they could give you a couple hints, you know.
Maybe you can get a little sparkly here, because
The other thing that I want to bring up about this thing, and you were the one that brought this up, Manny. Microsoft now has a Japanese developer.
Before you move on.
Yeah.
Let me get a word in advice here about id. You guys realize that they made Rage, I want to point out, right?
Yeah, we know. You can't get them all right, man. You can't get them all right, you know?
No, here's the thing. Rage was heavily lauded as being technically sound and fundamentally good. It just didn't have a lot of good creative direction layered on top of it. It was just kind of a few flimsy layers. But where it got a lot of its hype from the press especially was when playing like the demo or getting your hands on it, because man, that game felt fucking solid. And so if we're talking about a company that knows how to make an engine but not necessarily what to do with it, it's that company, and having them in that portfolio does open up a lot of opportunities for them to make a sound engine and then hand it off to other companies who make good creative decisions but not very technically sound games.
I want to push back a little bit on the creative part, because Doom and Doom Eternal are fucking amazing.
Like, I was talking about Bethesda.
Okay, just, you know, okay, but just making sure there.
I was making a Skyrim joke, Tony.
Yeah, but it was already part of Bethesda. They could have done that already. Understand, Brett?
Yeah, they've been together for a while.
They've joked, Tony. Huh?
I said, quiet, you're ruining the joke.
But the joke doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay, so yeah, just discard that and just take the other shit that I said, that it is a fantastic engine developer.
Yes.
And they could hand that off to any other company in that portfolio to really help beef up their engine development and shorten their development cycle.
There you go.
Because keep in mind, you can have...
Well, I mean, you look at, like, you're talking about development cycle. Like, look how long it took for them to make the new Doom, you know, from Rage to the new Doom to the newest Doom. It actually hasn't been very long.
Actually, the new Doom, between the two Dooms, were 4 years apart.
It's really? Not a bad development
time. That's you know,
2016 and 2020. Yeah,
it's a little longish. I mean, that's how long it takes to make a good game, but little on the long side, you know?
Well, I mean, especially with some of these guys taking fucking 5 years and 7 years to do this shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to talk. Yeah,
4 years maybe a thing of the past, man. A lot of games are going over that now.
Yeah, no, Cyberpunk.
6 to 8 years.
But yeah, we got to talk about Shinji Mikami, man. Okay, yes. So Shinji Mikami, the guy who created the modern day survival horror game as you know it, is now working for Microsoft, man. So Microsoft finally has a Japanese developer under its wing, a legit one, you know.
You might call him one of the Japanese developers. Like, yeah he created one the survival horror. Yeah. He you know, the survival horror as we know it twice, because he reinvented it, reinvented it for Resident Evil, then reinvented it again for Resident Evil 4, which is considered the game that essentially redefined third-person shooters.
That's right, yep.
So you got that guy in there. He
won the record from himself.
Yes. Yeah. You know, think about it, because he revitalized Resident Evil, but he also, like, hey, this is how you do third-person shooting. Every third-person shooting game that came after Resident Evil 4 is in the style of Resident Evil 4, over the shoulder and shit, because before it was, like, sometimes it was behind the back, sometimes it was over, like, nobody really knew what to do. Then Shinji Mikami came in, it's like, this is how you do it, and everybody just went along, you know? So this guy making games for Microsoft, that's a huge one. That's a huge one, you know?
The only thing is, we'll see how this goes, because, you know, obviously Evil Within was not the greatest. No. Evil Within 2, a lot of people seem to like that one.
That
a
one
lot.
Did better, yeah.
And, you know, I think Psycho, was it Ghostwire, is still coming to all consoles?
Because I believe so. They announced that for everything. I believe so. That's not an exclusive.
It's not an exclusive. No.
But yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be interesting.
So, I think this is good. This is a good one. And I think we're going to start really seeing some of the fruits of it next year. You know, I don't think Starfield's coming out this year. I seriously doubt that. That's going to be exclusive. Watch. That's going to be big. I think that when that game comes out, and if it's literally what they claim it's going to be, Fallout in space, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But better done than Outer Worlds, man. Just saying. Yeah, just saying.
Oh, you throwing shots?
A little bit. Outer Worlds was a little disappointing, man.
Okay, I gotta throw stones at the PlayStation community just because you guys are just so much fun to throw stones at. It's not bad. I'm just curious. Like this, okay, this is starting to sound like a laundry list of, you know, a wish list or maybe a ransom list of things Microsoft needs to do, right? So, like, this point, and I've been saying this for a while, not because I'm either brand preferential, despite what you guys believe. I just really like making fun of some of you guys. I'm trying to think of how to put this. I should figure this out ahead of time. How can people at this point still be thinking that Microsoft isn't doing enough or that they need to do more? Like, I guess where I'm coming from is this. Back months and months and months and months and months, remember when Microsoft was still basically a shit company that wasn't having any real prospects? And I was talking about how they were buying studios. And I was like, look, this is all I can reasonably expect them to do, right? This is all I can actually ask of them. I feel like we've been pulled, that idea has kind of been pulled more into the mainstream a little bit right now. So my question to you guys would kind of be, how can people still feel like Microsoft isn't doing enough with all of this? Is it just that the results haven't, the fruits haven't come to bear yet?
Yeah, I think that's the main part.
For reasonable people, yeah. If you're coming at it from a reasonable standpoint, that is like they want to wait and see. But the other half of it is just crazy fanboys are going to be fanboys.
Yeah, I think that's what it's. It's double both sides of it.
You know these same guys, man. These same guys saying that this isn't a big deal. That Bethesda's a shit company. If it was Sony that bought them, they'd be singing a different tune. You know, just like the guys praising this shit would be singing a different tune too. It's all fanboy shit. You know, all that shit.
Just like how Xbox fanboys didn't like exclusive games.
Yeah, now they love them.
Remember
they were saying they couldn't get Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They were saying that you know that was anti-consumer, exclusive or anti-consumer. They're not saying none of that shit now, are they?
We've forgotten you guys and your secret sauce.
So pretty interesting. So yeah, it's just fanboy bullshit. I wouldn't even pay it any attention. You know, they're salty because because Microsoft made one of the biggest moves in gaming history, and they're mad. That's all it is. You know, they don't like Microsoft getting any shine. You know, so they're mad.
I think beyond this, like this is it. Is this what I feel like this is all we can reasonably expect or ask from any company. So like at this point, like my whole idea of I'm just waiting the wings. They've done all I can think of. Now it's just waiting to see if it works.
Yeah.
So I think that's more validated personally. But I'm just wondering about you guys. Like, has this legitimized them more? Like, or were they already legitimized? Like, where did we cross the line that was Microsoft is a dumpster fire company to?
Let's say Xbox. Microsoft is doing good.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Ever since Phil Spencer took over and he had to clean up the mess, Don Matrick, they've been doing good things. They've been doing things, the right way. But again, the main factor that I was missing was compelling games that people actually cared about. Now they actually have them, so I think this is a great move. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you could ask any more of Microsoft than what they did now. This was fantastic, and I think, I should say hope, because who the fuck knows how it's gonna play out. But I would hope that we're gonna have an actual console war again. And I'm not talking about fanboys. I'm talking about an actual legit console war where we have two guys that are on the same level fighting each other. Because PlayStation killed the Xbox One out the gate. Let's just be real. PlayStation didn't kill it. Microsoft killed that shit. You know, stupid ass announcements. But I hope that this means that we're going to get an actual console war. Like, that Sony and Microsoft are on par with each other, forcing each other to do better things, you know? And that Sony fires Jim Ryan. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go on.
I was about to say, with Don Matrick doing all that damage, how scared of Jim Ryan should we be?
I don't know, man. Here's the thing. We're not going to... Sony's still doing very, very well with PlayStation, so until they start losing money, we're not going to, you know, our boy Jimbo is going to be there, you know?
Yes. I think the one thing about it is at this point in time, Sony is still riding the wave from the previous regime.
I don't think they know that.
We don't know that yet.
What do you mean you don't think?
He says he doesn't think Sony knows that.
I don't think they realize that. I agree with you.
No, I think they do. I don't think they do know that, but I think what they're riding the wave of from the previous the high mark of the previous generation. Now the thing is, we still haven't fully reached the precipice of what the Jim Ryan regime is going to look like. But already, at least we're seeing a lot of things that are not very, you know, nice.
Yeah, the Japan Studio thing, you know, kind of hurts. But let's not veer too much on PlayStation. Anyway, Carlos, do you have any last things to say about Bethesda?
Yeah, the Bethesda acquisition is like a really important thing in gaming history. You know, Microsoft acquired a $7 billion studio. But you know what's bigger than a $7 billion studio? A $40 billion studio.
Excuse me? That's a tease.
Oh.
That's a tease. But
a $45 billion studio.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's give away a game, man. Man, you got that wheel ready?
Yo, man, let me do this. Let me do this.
We're going to give away this Phoenix.
Oh, Rising. Yeah.
So that's everybody's in the chat right now?
What? Oh, I gotta switch out the name. So vamp a little bit.
All right.
You got a copy of Portal Phoenix Rising? See, we didn't even get offered this shit, guys. It goes straight to you.
Yeah, it's going right there. All right, we could bullshit around for a couple of minutes until Manny gets that done. I don't know. Talk about whatever gaming thing. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything more to say about the Bethesda thing. Really, I think it's great. And you know, get yourself an Xbox, man. That's all. Get yourself an Xbox, bro. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I mean, you can again. Oops. Oh, we got a lot of folks in here too. That's great.
Or a PC.
You could get a PC too.
I mean, you already have one.
But Tony, you moving that background around?
Yeah, I had to move some things around because I had to move the chat around because it was all in my face. Nobody could see me because I like how, hey, there's actually four motherfuckers here and we all have pictures. You know, we all have images. This is
fantastic. We actually have video.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, we're giving away our secrets. We're actually going to get rid of those three guys out here. We're actually getting rid of them because it's just going to be the four of us from now on. Just so it all looks good.
We're going through it on Classic.
That's it, man. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Bethesda, good stuff, man. Brett, you were asking me something.
I was going to say, what were you telling us to vamp and things like that? I was like, well, tell us a little bit of this Immortals game. And, like, it just got totally knocked out of the spotlight.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't fucking play it.
made after
it's interesting because I thought you were interested in that one.
I was, but not now because I don't want to play another 100 million hour Ubisoft game until the rest of the year. Because I got this Ubisoft, you know, thank you to Ubisoft, by the way. They sent me this game. Not even to review it. He's like, hey, thank you for the year's support. Here's the Immortal Phoenix. I'm like, fantastic. But I just finished playing your Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I'm not trying to play another million-hour fucking game. So I'm giving this to the fans because the PR loves that when you give games away to the fans, you know?
Great.
So I don't really have anything about this to say. I've seen gameplay of it. It's an interesting mix of, like, Breath of the Wild and a Ubisoft game, you know? It even has some Zelda-ish kind of music. But yeah, I wish I would tell you more because I haven't played it myself. I've only seen like video of it or whatever. But you know, if you like,
made by a really notable guy, like a pretty famous developer from Ubisoft.
I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I can't tell you anything about.
I want to say it was made by like the guy who made one of the original Assassin's Creed games or something like that. It was made by a guy who was, you know, a legacy.
Yo, there's some yo. This is how you can tell I read too many fucking books. I'm looking at the back of this thing for like a blurb about the game. Like, that doesn't exist for video games, you know? Like,
yeah, they don't have that?
No. They just have... No, video games don't really have that. Oh, no, here's the last thing. You are the god's last hope. Play as Phoenix, a new winged demigod on a quest to save the Greek gods and their home from a dark curse. Yeah, it tells you a lot, don't it? Oh, man. Oh, Manny, don't put...
Hey, there you go.
Don't put Upper Room AK in there.
Okay, let's go.
Take him away. He says he has a digital console.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, okay, no problem.
All right, but the thing I will say about Phoenix is that those who have played it love it. They think this game is fantastic. It looks cool. It's definitely a game up my alley. It's just I'm not trying to play a big ass open world. Because think about it. Last year, at the end of last year, I played Watch Dogs, Cyberpunk, and Assassin's Creed back to back to back to back. I'm like, I need a break. Can't do this right now. And you know me, I'm a completionist, so I had to fucking destroy all those games. So. Still making, man. Oh, man. Actually, you know what? Since I'm going to take a while, let's just talk about the next story, because, Carlos, you're
pretty much... I'm already now.
Hold the fuck on. Hold the fuck on a minute.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
This can't be right.
Oh, what happened? What happened?
Immortal Phoenix Rising looks like it was directed by Scott Phillips. That's not the same Scott Phillips from Creed, is it?
What?
No.
That can't be.
No, I don't. I never even heard.
No, I think it's just. I think it's just the same, a similar name.
I guess it's.
You mean the you know the yeah the guy the guy's like, can you take me higher guy? No, it's not. I don't think it's him.
Can you take me?
I was like, yeah. There's no fucking way.
Yeah. No, all right, let's spin this shit. Let's go.
Yeah, let's spin this wheel. All right, let me turn my camera on. Boop, boop. There's the wheel.
Who is getting a free copy of... Oh, why is that shit all fucked up?
What's fucked up about it?
It's all like low res. It's like 300p. All right, I guess we'll find out the name together.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm not sure why it's doing
that.
Yeah,
it looks pretty bad. Sorry about that.
Maybe my internet's a little bit slow today. You know?
Yeah. All right, spin the wheel. Combat. Hopefully, we'll be able to read the name. All right, spin it. Right. Who's going to win this fucking game?
Okay, so let me get the interact thing going.
All right, here we go. It's spinning. It is spinning. Okay, the names are looking better. Oh, excuse me. Who's going to win? Sub Gator.
Mr. Gator wins every other week now. What
was that? Oh, shit. What was last time Sub Gator won, by the way?
I think he won something.
Because we do have a 3-month time limit here. The other guy who's going to win is our boy CK.
I thought it was going to be Tiki.
Yeah, but hey, Subgator won fair and square. I'll ship this out to him, man.
Yeah, congrats, man.
Yeah, no, he won. He won. He won something recently, but it's been a while. So, congrats to you, Subgator. Subgator, for you guys who don't know, he did. He helped us with some of the graphics around here. You know, which will be back on the Throwdown Twitter, by the way, the cards. So congrats.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing some new cards and all that other good stuff.
I see Case right there. I know, brother, you're so close, man. So close. You know,
see, do you have it? You don't have a Immortal Phoenix, right? CK,
I don't know. Oh, yeah, basically the answer. Oh, man, like, all right, congrats to Subgator, man. And we know Subgator, so he'll be easy to track. All right, man. Carlos, what's up with this next story? Okay, so this next story went under the radar, even though it's actually one of the biggest gaming stories of the year. Like, this is huge, but it's for a game nobody plays because we're all men, you know? Carlos, so you said $45 billion. What the fuck is going on here?
So there's a video game that a lot of us older people are not too aware of. But, I mean, if you're old and you have kids... You definitely know this game, and it's called Roblox. I have no clue what the game is about. I just know my nephew plays it all the time. Actually, my nephew got in trouble because he spent over $100 one day for microtransactions in that game. Mm-hmm. It was a mess. What a day. it's that game, and that company went public this week, and. Mm-hmm. And it went really well. They went public. Let me check real quick. What was the starting price?
Roblox. Your upper room AK got some money off of that shit. He just said, oh boy.
Oh, you did nice.
$5.
What happened?
It opened at $64.75.
Okay.
And it's currently at $73.85 or $73.64. Yeah.
We don't have too many people that listen to this, and by this I mean like too many that like it's gonna water down that kind of thing. He's absolutely right. That's a hot stock tip, not just in video game circles, but like it's set to do some big things. The company is also heavily invested in VR technology, both in gaming and for things like virtual distance, like surgery or doctor meetups and things like that. When you hear about these things of the future, they're kind of talking about all the things they can do with VR. That's one of the things this company's leveraging.
Well, the thing about, you know, I'm going to say this, you know, people don't talk about this. You know, as somebody who's worked in TV animation and stuff like that, you don't know the power of children. Because it is a constantly rolling wheel that people that companies always sort of take advantage of. A good example of this is the 80s. you know, when the laws were changed, you know, to where, you know, advertising for children became a little bit more lax and you could literally have 30-minute cartoons on television that were essentially advertisements for the products that these things are, you know, like, you know, figures or toys and stuff like that. And the one thing about it is that, especially when something like a Roblox, when that go, the way that works is that's sort of word of mouth and a few other different things. And that's the one key about a lot of this. Once you get kids involved, it's a it constantly rolls after itself because other kids tell other kids who tell other kids to continue to do it. So if you may have a drop off, but you, as long as you keep the content going rolling, you continue to keep the, having them come back. It's the same way that Fortnite works. It's the same way that Minecraft works.
Yeah. I do want to say a couple of things on this, right? Because, again, we're adults. We don't really pay attention to this stuff. Roblox is a game I just knew about. But I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? It's some Minecraft ripoff, right? But one of our friends, David Jagano, he actually wrote, like, an actual, like, book on it, like a how-to guide. I'm not gonna give away all the information, but he said, like, yo, it's a consistent money maker for him. Like, you know, it's he does very well off of this book, off of the residuals, right? And here's the funny thing, right? Hilarious that this happened this week. So this weekend on Saturday, my nephew was over, right? It was my nephew and two nieces, right? By the way, I gotta paint a picture for you guys before I get to this part. So had my nephew on my PC, right? He was playing Roblox, right? The girl, right, the oldest girl, she's like 10 now. She was playing Fortnite on the tablet, right? And then the little one, 3 years old, fucking TikTok. I'm like, yeah, this modern kids right there. They're literally doing all the stereotypical shit modern kids do, right? Anyway, so I'm watching him play Roblox, right? And this is legit what I thought. Just giving you guys my raw thoughts. I'm like, yo, like, imagine being a game developer. You went to school, you worked hard, you trained hard, and you make bullshit like this. How demoralizing must that be? Let me finish. I'm the fucking stupid one because those motherfuckers are laughing all the way to the bank right now making that bullshit game, man. That's crazy.
No, man. Here's the thing. Like, I'm going to say this. I don't think they're just putting out shit just to put out shit. I definitely think
it looks genuinely like shit. I'll tell you that right now. I definitely think
that they genuinely, it's not like PUBG. PUBG just literally just used a bunch of clip art 3D models to make a game out of. Roblox, I do think there is a method to the madness behind it. I don't think that those people are embarrassed that they do make that game.
I wouldn't be if I made all that money, you know?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I knew, me and Kari used to know a guy, his only thing he did was he made Dora the Explorer artwork for a living. You think, oh, man, Dora the Explorer, whatever. Homeboy makes a lot of money doing that shit. Drawing the same fucking two angles that you see Dora the Explorer at.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad you bring that up because I would think the same thing. I'm like, oh man, you fucking talented artist, and that's the shit you gotta put out, but you're making money, you know?
Making good money off of that.
Yeah, no, I'm not begrudging. I'm like, but that's always been a thing that I, you know, not to go too off topic, and Brett, I'll let you go next. But I've always thought that, like, every time I see, like, mobile games, I'm like, Jesus, man. Like, that's what you're doing? Really? But motherfuckers are making bank. You know, so can't begrudge them that. Anyway, Brett, we're going to say, man?
There's a fair amount of art and stuff that sort of goes into that stuff. You don't need, you're not going to be totally embarrassed about the things you're going to be doing. Here's the thing. I knew people that worked on Sesame Street, literally, you know, preschool stuff, doing that sort of stuff made great livings doing that stuff. I mean, you can definitely make good. You can make good of what might be considered childish, but that's the thing. When you do that sort of stuff, that you're not only affecting the minds of the young, but you're also, again, you're dipping into a rolling cycle of people. Us, who are all, you know, cynical and don't care, you know, like, oh, this is not what I want, blah, blah, blah. Kids don't care that much about that.
They really don't.
They're looking to play something fun. So the repetitive action of whatever, you know, and I believe, just like Minecraft, there's two types of play. You have your structured play, which is like buying the Lego set that literally has all the pieces that you'll need to play the game, to make whatever you need to make. And then, of course, there's the other side of it where you can be openly creative and make little worlds and make little games. Same like Minecraft.
Yeah, it's interesting. Brett, what are you going to say, man?
That none of this revolves around the game. The game actually doesn't matter. The company has grown well beyond that. I'm talking about this from... I ran into this when researching investment stuff because I've recently gotten into investing. So it's how you make white people money, people.
Okay.
So like country club money, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I was looking into it and it's come up and no, they're not. Honestly, most of the people investing in it barely have any idea that there was ever a Roblox game. They have no idea where the name came from. They know that they're doing things in the tech and VR markets, and that's where most of their money is coming from. That's where most of their valuation comes from. So yes, they do make the game, and yes, it does come from the game. But two things, Tony. One, you're absolutely right. If you're sitting there and being like, this is what I put my livelihood into, fuck this, I am embarrassed. They go, cool, let's go bring you over to the VR wing, right? The people who work on the video game are the people who want to work on the video game. They have so many other departments, they can shift people and assets around at will, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first one. The second one, is that this game has almost zero bearing on the valuation of the company and almost nothing to do with it going public.
Interesting.
So, you know, why you say like, yes, you know, it's childhood, it's nostalgia, it's actually none of these things. It's honestly just emerging tech markets, balloon valuation, and a company that used to make a video game that they kind of still vestigially have as a revenue stream. But make no mistake, this isn't Roblox the game going public and people are frenzy buying over it. This is the company has grown into something.
I'm glad you brought I'm glad you clarified that. But I was really just
nobody's going to be investing in something because it's Roblox. They're investing in something because it's already making money.
Yeah,
they're jumping. Yeah. They're literally jumping on the train as soon as long as it's rolling. And if the money, if just like any company, if it starts to not make any sort of money, they jump the right the fuck off. Right?
Yep.
But I'm saying,
go ahead.
I'm saying the key thing about this is that if you have something that's like this, especially again, we're talking about children's entertainment, that is a very great space to be. Even though everybody thinks, it's just bullshit kids stuff. Yeah, I worked in TV animation for years. How could that happen? I worked on Ninja Turtles for like almost 9 years. How did that happen?
I can tell you, Manny, because
children... it happened because again, it has nothing to do with the show.
The cycle.
It has to do with the cycle and the toys.
Yes.
That's what was selling. People will constantly, I remember Turtles. I'm going to pick that up. That's what it was. It was kids buying these toys or parents buying these toys, which kept our show around. And that's the same sort of a cycle that happens with something like a Roblox. It's like, again, it's once you're already rolling, and if you can keep the content rolling, you don't need to be too insane in any sort of direction. It'll just keep on rolling. That's why something like Fortnite's going to work too.
Yeah.
Because again, it's already got the kids market already looking at it. And then now what do? You make big deals. You make because Marvel Comics is probably not hitting that audience. You know, they're probably watching the movies, maybe watching the cartoons. But what do? You put things in there so that, you know, for people because there's already a captive audience. Hey, look, there's G.I. Joe. Hey, look, there's Spider-Man. I recognize these characters. Advertising.
Yeah. I wonder how many kids know Ripley from Aliens, though.
That's purely for the older fans. But maybe a kid, well, looking at that character, granted, I knew who Ripley was at 10 years old. But, you know, at that point, I'm like, hey, who is this Ripley person? What's this? I know what the alien is.
I wonder how many people know Chun-Li from Street Fighter.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. What's that? A lot of things are viable financial moves. Like, if you notice, a lot of these things that we're talking about, they're geared towards the early teenage crowd. You know why that is? It's because the market for teenage, 14 to 18, is one of the most profitable markets out there. And it's because young adults have money, but they don't have bills. So they have some of the most discretionary funding habits on the face of the planet, which is why we still have fucking Claire's everywhere. So, like, it's you don't want to look at the amount of money that people a certain group has. You want to look at the amount of money a certain group spends. And kids and teenagers are huge about that. Because as adults, we save things and we pay bills. But like a kid, if they have a fucking allowance, man, that shit's going straight towards. Well, I mean, it used to be G.I. Joes and all the other things that we saw commercials for, like Manny was saying. And now it's, you know, I guess.
Now it's digital. But now it's digital G.I. Joes. What the fuck is Fortnite?
That's right.
Minecraft?
Legos.
What is Minecraft in this game? It's digital Legos.
Yep, Manny's so, right.
Like yeah, and you didn't need to pay a manufacturing cost to do it either.
That's I hadn't thought of it like that. Well, good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, kids think they have lots of money. Enough money to spawn giant tech industry behemoths. Like if you're wondering like oh haha, kids think can have the money to build an empire more powerful than any of us have seen. Like
that's a fact.
I'm not saying they're going to be like, but like 100 years when they're using Roblox technology to do brain surgery from halfway across the world, it'd be like, yeah, it needs to be a video game company. The same way we sit back look at Nintendo and be like, you know, they just make playing cards.
Look at the biggest company right now. What did they start doing?
Bookstore.
Cartoons? Disney?
I thought you were talking about Amazon.
No,
I'm talking about Disney. They're gobbling up others so big that they gobbled up another studio.
So again,
family entertainment. So it's always been a thing.
I want to put something into perspective here.
Uh-oh.
Take Two, who you know owns Rockstar. They Rockstar has made one of the biggest gaming franchises in the history of video games in GTA 3, GTA 2, San Andreas, Vice City, 4, and the game that will never die, GTA 5, that's sold over 20 million copies just in this fucking chat room here. And that company's still not bigger than Roblox.
Think about it like this, Carlos, when you told me this shit, you were like, they're bigger than Ubisoft, Take Two, and EA.
Yeah,
here's the thing. No. You could combine all of those three companies, and this company is still worth more than them by $39 billion. Think about
it. Oh, no. It's not that much.
No, because I look, Ubisoft is like worth $3 billion.
It's nine.
$9 billion. Shit, I saw three. What's Rockstar? Because I saw them at $3 billion as well.
Take Two is 19.
Oh, okay. What is EA?
38.
Damn, yo, where'd I get my fucking information from?
It sounds like it was a few years ago.
I looked them up, 2020, and this is what Google told me. Thank you, Google. You fucked up. So it said Ubisoft 3, Take Two 3, and Ubisoft and EA 1 billion.
Yeah, I'm looking at a brokerage right now. The market cap for EA is 38 billion.
So. Okay. Okay, yeah. See, that sounds more right to me. Like 1 billion? I don't know about that. That's not a lot of money, you know. but yeah. So, but think about it like that. Like they're bigger. This company is bigger than each of them individually, not together, obviously, but individually. That's crazy.
Can I mention? A lot of this money isn't being. The lion's share of this money isn't being made by their game. Roblox.
Yeah, you said that already.
Yes, and I also stated the other things that they do, right?
Yeah, you said VR. You said that shit already. Yeah.
Yeah. Think- so, can I just point out that the company worth more than all of these companies is the one doing fucking VR?
Oh, hey, there you go.
Well, I'm going to say this.
By the way, Carlos, that's how you drop the mic, bro.
But the thing about this is that the reason why they're able to do this is because they have a consistent revenue.
Yeah.
You're always again. You have a constant cycle of new players constantly feeding off of each other, continue to keep moving. And as long as you continue to provide content to them, doesn't even need to be big content. It'll continue to keep rolling, and that is the space that they can start doing experimental things like VR.
Yeah,
But they didn't start doing a VR company. What they did, the core of their company was built off of this game that kids enjoy. It's the same thing that also, you know, on a smaller level, you want to talk about a company that also did something very similar is the guys who created No Man's Sky. What they created originally was Joe Danger. Nobody gives a shit about Joe Danger, but Joe Danger made money out the ass. And that allowed them to do something experimental like No Man's Sky. So if you have that, and that's the one thing that we all wish we had. If you had that sort of consistent revenue, constantly rolling and constantly continuing to give back, you can go and do all your crazy experimental things and not have to worry about, you know, oh shit, we need to make a profit. You're constantly making profits. You keep on. What is it? What's the old saying? It prints money. Hmm. So it's just printing money, and you just like, all right, I'm going to do some cool shit now. Let's play with some VR.
I mean, let's look at it this way. We're talking about a company that none of you even knew was. I mean, one of you might have, but none of you even knew was in the VR sector, right? They made this money off of this constant revenue stream, which allowed them to do all of the experiments. Meanwhile, you have things like the Oculus Rift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's been launched, it's been trying to drag from the get-go. It's always suffered from financial issues. It was trying to be a VR company out of the gate. You saw how many hitches they had, right? And that was all very public. Meanwhile, this company was able to quietly sock away Roblox money and become an industry leader.
Exactly. Because the Oculus to the point where they had to literally sell themselves to Facebook in order to do this. Right, because they dumped, essentially they went in and they went full force with the VR section, which yes, there is a lot of interest in it, but it's not at this point in time, it is not an effective not fully an effective place to set your flag. So that's why they had to sell themselves to somebody like a Facebook, because it's like,
well, Facebook was exactly because they didn't have that stream of revenue you're mm-hmm. talking about. And I exactly, think personally, yeah. The Roblox company is doing the right thing. And I've said this before, it needs to be utilized as a tool before we utilize it as a game. And I know that sounds incredibly backwards, but there's not the demand for it being a game that's going to call in the amount of investment money that things like remote heart surgery are. The gaming industry mm-hmm. just isn't worth that much money fucking collectively. Granted, it's a large money making industry, but
did you just say the gaming industry doesn't make money?
No, I said the gaming industry doesn't make enough money collectively to fund VR research.
Oh, I was about to say, you realize gaming is bigger than
he's absolutely right about that. Yeah. It's not, again, it's still at least for gaming, it's still at that sort of enthusiast market, which is not enough to sustain it.
I before we move on with this whole thing, like, here's what I'm trying to understand. Why are we talking about VR? I understand that
Brett's obsessed with it.
The reason why they're a $45 billion company is because of the fucking game, not because of the VR shit.
No.
Right, let's just be clear here.
Okay, battle of the due diligence. I've been doing stock investment research.
Yeah,
okay, they make money off of VR.
You rent Stonks for Dummies. All right, congratulations, man. You want a reward? You want a cookie, man?
Okay, so you're saying that Roblox is single-handedly worth more than all of these other companies combined with no other efforts, and they're just doing industry-leading VR research for funsies?
I'm saying that the reason why people are buying Roblox stocks are because of that video game. That's what's leading the hype.
Investing in those stocks.
I've seen the videos of it. I've seen people. I was looking at this before even when I did an IPO of it.
I knew
shit was public. I didn't see you talking about Roblox in the Twitter chat. I was the one that brought it up
because I didn't even know they made the fucking video game. Because the research I did shows that they're making all their money off of VR research.
There, look at this: bookings, total purchases of Roblox virtual currency, including Roblox not spend this year, $1.88 billion in 2020. Their total revenue was $923 million.
And?
That's Roblox money.
And
that's the virtual currency that they use to buy things in Roblox, the microtransactions.
Okay.
That's the moneymaker there.
that is their stream of revenue, yes. Do you think that's the reason that their stock is all hot and talked about right now? You think people are buying an IPO for a game that most people other than enthusiasts don't even remember exists?
Most people play this game. I was talking about how Tony knows about this game because his nephews play it. I know about it because my nephews play it, and everyone knows it because their kids play it or their little brothers and sisters play it. It's a huge game.
I know about the game because I work in the gaming industry. But go on.
But if you didn't work at the gaming industry, you would have known it because of your nephews. Yeah.
You know, Roblox is a huge fucking game. We just don't know about it because we don't have fucking kids. You know, that's all it is. Talk to Adam. He would have told you about that shit, you know?
General, we're not looking in that sort of direction. It seems, I think to a lot of people, this situation, this seems like it's totally out of nowhere because it's something that most gamers are not even looking at.
I was shocked by the amount of money, but I was not surprised. Like, this is a kid's fucking game. Those things always do really, really well. Look at Fortnite. Yeah, not surprised at all. You know, not surprised at all.
See, here's the reason why I have to disagree with you, Carlos. A big problem is that everybody's worried that this is technically a bubble, and it is, because there's the valuation on it is based off demand, not their revenue. So that when people invest in this, it has a very significant risk of having the market correct itself to the correct valuation of the company based upon the revenue, causing the stock price to plummet.
Well, they already released their financial statement of 2020, so they are basing it off of that. Let me tell you this. Roblox is doing all of this, you know, VR thing and the whole hoopla you're talking about. Activision is worth more than that, and they just make video games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Stock markets aren't based off of what actual valuation is. These kinds of things are based off of demand and hype. It's the demand and the hype of these VR systems that has caused an inflated valuation of the company itself. They're not releasing this, or these numbers are not indicative of the actual revenue. Same with the GameStop stock, right? Like, I'm riding the GameStop stock train, right? It's up to like $250 at this point. Is a GameStop stock actually worth $250? No, it's because everybody's jumping on board. And there's the huge risk, and the reason it's so volatile is the market is trying to correct itself to what GameStop is actually worth according to its yearly revenue.
The whole Roblox stock is based off of speculation, but it's not a meme stock like GameStop. It's not artificially inflating itself because of a meme and because people want to, you know, shove it to the big man and for all these hedge funds. This is an IPO that went public just this week, and there was I was looking at CNBC, Fox Business. I've been looking at that stuff for the past week. All of these people that were talking about Roblox never mentioned the stuff about VR. I don't know. Most of the people that know about this company is because of the game. Like, I understand that you're like all into VR and you understand that's the future and that's potential for major growth. But that's not.
By the way, I'm sorry, I'm cutting this off. This is way off topic and I'm getting bored. So we're moving on. And the fans are getting annoyed in the chat too. All right, let's move on here. Some other news. We're going to talk about PlayStation. So Denuvo, the infamous, notorious Denuvo anti-pirating software is coming to PlayStation. Well, these are going to be made available to developers. And some people are not happy
about this. Zack Snyder's Justice League leaks on HBO Max.
Comicbook.com. You guys heard that shit, right? Not you guys, but you guys in the chat heard that shit. I go to this fucking site and it starts playing this Snyder Cut shit. You're like, come on. like on my end, because I heard like Zack Snyder's Justice League. That means the fans heard it too. Fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so people are not happy about this because Denuvo causes a lot of crashes on PC games and stuff to have it. And people are worried that may happen with PlayStation. I wish Brian was here to tell us more about this. But Carlos, Brett, what do you say about this?
I'm sorry. I walked out just as you – I cut out just as you asked the question.
All right, never mind then. Carlos.
I have no clue what the hell Denuvo is.
Damn, aren't you motherfuckers PC players?
I would suspect the most knowledgeable people about this.
Yeah, the most knowledgeable guys are not here. They're not here right now.
Not here.
I just told you what my boss told me. It's like all the PC players hate it. It causes massive crashes. Every game I've reviewed so far on PC Mag that has had Denuvo has had it removed 2 weeks afterwards because people were pissed. You know, so
I don't understand. I don't understand why Sony has made a deal with them to do this, to do their security.
Well, I don't know if they're – no, it's not that. They're allowing developers to use it on PlayStation. Understand? It's not like a mandatory thing.
Oh, okay. You know what? This is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But you wonder why it's just giving them options.
Yeah.
If their company is using this thing and is used to using this thing, it's just like some sort of like development engines and stuff like that. They're allowing people to use it. Studios to use it. But the thing is, yeah, if this starts causing crashes, then that would be a bad thing especially for that game.
Yeah, but my question is cheating that rampant on PlayStation? Obviously, PC's just riddled with it, but...
We know a certain no stranger to danger that uses certain cheating to things.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, that is true. If he's using it, other people are too.
If you can, yes. They
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, if you can, they will. So yeah, if they're gonna be especially when it comes to online, gaming, I remember Brett was kind of happy that the ecosystems like this were closed down so that people couldn't use cheats and bots and things, but those days are kind of over.
Yeah.
If somebody can develop these things to create sort of cheats and things for games, that could screw up online economies, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I think that's the reason why they're just saying, okay, yeah, we're gonna let them use this thing.
Yeah,
but I don't think, again, Sony's taking their usual, we'll let you do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing.
It's not mandatory. It's just, hey, like, hey, we got this thing available. You're going to use it. You go ahead. My thing is, I wish the PC guys were here for this. Like, if everybody hates the Novu and it causes all these crashes, why the fuck are people still using it? Is it just cheap? I'm guessing it's got to be cheap or something or easy to use that people are like every bit. I'm not talking about little games. I'm talking about big games, especially the big games always use this shit. So I don't know what it like Assassin's Creed, Capcom games, all of them,
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, kind of interesting. So, I wish I had the PC guys here. So I can't really go into too many details here, but
I mean, to be honest, I don't see it being that much of an issue. If Sony made it mandatory that every single thing uses this sort of, uses this thing, then I would say that would be an issue. But yeah, if they're just leaving the door. Yeah, if they're just leaving the door open so that this stuff can, that people can, if they feel that this is important enough and they don't want to develop something internally to sort of look for these things, yeah, okay, you just leave the door open and then you could use it if you want, and then people can complain if it doesn't, get pissed off because Street Fighter's running stupid slow.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Brett's cat's acting up, so that's
why that's a cat.
Himself.
That's
the cat. You could already tell. You don't have to hear this motherfucker. You knew he was yelling at a cat.
Get off there.
Yep.
I'm just straight up ready for the balls on this little fucker.
Hilarious. I don't even.
He's sitting under my Cintiq right now.
I don't even own it. Come back. That's a cat yell. That's a cat yell. Oh, man.
I just knew it was like.
Yep.
He just.
All right, so yeah, now let's end the show off on a happy note. And man, I know you have some kind of maybe insider-ish shit to say about this, but we'll see. So this just came out of nowhere, right? So the same guys who brought, there's Brett's cat, the podcat. We got to have a podcat t-shirt, by the way, Good stuff.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Podcat.
Yeah. So anyway, so this came out. So the same people who brought us Streets of Rage 4 and it's another company. The Mercenary Kings. Yeah. So those two companies. Mercenary Kings is fucking awesome, by the way. But those two companies are coming together to make a brand new side-scrolling beat-em-up Teenage Mutant Turtles game. In the vein, they're not even hiding that influence, in the vein of Turtles in Time. And it looks fucking awesome. This is 1980s Ninja Turtles, from the cartoon and stuff. Fucking great, So
it's it's Mercenary Kings, and it's a bunch of the people that are the developers who worked on Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, they're on
there. Kind of like why Mercenary Kings sort of looks like Scott Pilgrim a little, because it's a lot of the same people that worked on it.
Yeah, and then something
really cool stuff.
And Manny, before you go on, because I'm going to say this, and then you go on, because I found this super interesting, because I read Game Informer, they did a whole like thing on it. So apparently, what happened is the Mercenary Kings guys. they've been petitioning to Nickelodeon, right? They own Ninja Turtles, to get a game done for, since 2010, right? But things were happening, wasn't working. So then when they found out that the Dotemu guys were working on Ninja Turtles game, you know, the, I don't know, the Dotemu guys knew that these guys were trying to work on this game for like 10 years now. So that when they got hired, they're like, hey, you guys want to help us with this game? So that's how it all came together, you know? Pretty crazy. But you have some other stuff that you know. I think you could talk about publicly.
Officially, I cannot talk about any of that stuff.
Fair enough. But what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very cool. It's also very unexpected. One thing I can say is that Nickelodeon has been trying to do some Ninja Turtles games through a bunch of different things. You know, as of late, it's just been hard to sort of get those things. Again, we're dealing with like a big company like that, and it can take a while to get things to happen. But it's great that this thing happened.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is already my most anticipated game of the year. Give me this shit. I love me some fucking Turtles in Time, man. That's the game. And of course, the first Ninja Turtles arcade game that a lot of people don't talk about. It was called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 on Nintendo, but that was the first arcade game. So I just want to beat them up. Fucking awesome.
No, that wasn't the first arcade game.
Wasn't it? Which one was the first Ninja Turtles arcade game?
It was the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that Ninja Turtles 2 was just a port of the arcade game.
That's literally what I just said. Yeah. That's literally what you're correcting me. What I said. The first Ninja Turtles game was ported out to the NES. Yeah, I said that. But what the fuck?
It sounded like you said the 2 was the first game. And
I didn't say that. I said Ninja Turtles 2 was the first arcade game, which it was.
Well,
this is where commas come in.
That's the thing. It wasn't the first. 2 wasn't the first, but it was a port of the first.
Yeah, but that's what I just said.
No. Yeah, yeah.
The first.
Yeah.
He was saying it was the arcade game. It was. I don't know why he says first in there.
It was the first arcade game because Ninja Turtles of Time was the second arcade game, right?
I believe. Yes, Turtles in Time was the second.
So, yeah, okay, guys, we're saying the same thing, just different ways, you know?
Yeah, the importance of commas, people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a fucking writer, bro. I know what I'm doing here, you know? Hey, if Brett was able to drop that bomb about
you want a fucking cookie, bro?
Hey, I'm just saying, if Brett dropped that bomb about being a stockbroker
that's one of those moments like, who's a professional writer here, motherfucker?
Hey, but it's true though. Who's making a living?
I'm not a stockbroker.
Yeah,
no. I just said I've been reading on that shit. Yeah. It turns out we both was right.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so I'm getting this fucking game. You already know. No release date.
Yeah, that shit looks crazy.
No release date on it. They had me with the artwork, man, because I always like the Ninja Turtles with a little bit of a line in the middle of their noses. You know, they got rid of that shit later on. Like the first, I'm getting old school right now.
I can
now,
tell you a secret on that one.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear that. Because remember the first, it was like kind of like the Ninja Turtles movie. It was like 5 episodes at the air. It was like the origin story and all that, you know. They had the little thing on their nose, and then they got rid of them after that. So what's up with that?
Well, that's because Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman didn't like it. When it came over from they didn't like that thing, and that's one of the things that they had removed when the show. Those episodes are actually the pilot episodes on how they sold the series to. They commissioned those original 5 or 4 episodes, and that's how they got the rest of the show all signed up to, you know, for the future. So
I remember that was a hype ass week, man, when that first came on. But I saw it later because the regular show had already been on. But like that, it was like one every, and the animation was fantastic. What studio did it? I know it was a Japanese studio that did that.
It was probably Toho.
Yeah,
that did it.
No, Toho. It was good.
It's probably not Toho or the guys who do the Dragon Ball Z stuff. Those guys.
Oh, Toei.
It's those guys. Yeah, it's Toei.
Yeah,
it's probably Toei.
Toei did everything back in the 80s, man.
Also a fun little fact on that. Peter Chung did the storyboards on that. And Peter Chung, for you don't know, did Aeon Flux.
Yes.
He also did the opening titles for all of your favorite shows. This goes down to Silverhawks, this is Thundercats, all those really awesome like anime like, you know, intros. He did the boarding for all of those. So yeah.
Anybody like younger than 30 is like, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah, I know, because you're probably shows, watching on the reruns.
Yeah, there are shows, man. The real shit. Yep.
I also asked when I saw it, I'm like, this is, the one, it was like, man, who did the animation of that opening? Because they did that whole new opening for the thing, which looked really nice. So I don't know who did the animation.
I don't know. It looks good.
It looked really good. And also, you know, again, me being former Turtles guy, you know, for years we were always trying to do the remake of the, or get that signed off to do another Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah.
This is before Nickelodeon ever even touched the franchise, before they bought it from Peter Laird and those guys in Mirage. But, you know, our studio had been always trying to get Konami to, because Konami was doing our, was doing the Ninja Turtles games for our iteration, the 2003 version. So we were always trying to get them like, hey, come on, why don't you just re-release Turtles in Time or something like that? And they actually did do it. But the problem is that there's so much stuff that happened with it, because the Ninja Turtles franchise is all sort of split up. So obviously Peter Laird and all those guys, they owned Peter Laird and Eastman already owned the Ninja Turtles franchise, but they didn't own all the new characters. So part of the reason why you, if you ever watched our iteration of Ninja Turtles, you never saw characters like Krang or, you know, Bebop and Rocksteady. You never heard the old dit-dit, you know, the Ninja Turtles song. You never heard any of that because we didn't own the rights to that stuff. That was whatever Wolfman or whatever, the guys who produced the actual animated show. So any of the, if you ever notice on the old animated show, you notice that like, hey, wait a minute. If Shredder's the main villain, how come there's this guy Krang? It's because that guy inserted his own stuff into the show, which essentially was stuff that he specifically owned.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So like, but the Outrams were in the comic, right?
Outrams are in the comics, but they never used the word Outram in that show, did they?
I thought they did.
The Rock Soldiers. No, they didn't.
On our show, they did.
But on those things, they never used any of those sorts of terms. Baxter Stockman was used, but he turned him into a totally different character. Baxter Stockman was a black scientist who didn't turn into a fly.
Yeah.
He was just a scientist. But yeah, see, he added all kinds of these additional things. And that's one thing that Peter Laird, or, you know, who was, you know, in charge, not in charge of our show, but the main guy on, you know, who signed off on our show, didn't want. He actually brutally hated that original Ninja Turtle show.
Oh, shit.
Because they took so many liberties with their property.
Yeah. I'm going to say this right now, even though obviously the original Ninja Turtle show was the one I grew up on. I was obsessed with that fucking show, right? Your show was way better. Way better. You know? Way fucking better. Now, here's my other thing. Go ahead. Because I got a question.
No, go. Yeah.
Again, talk about professionals right now, right? Man, I got a question for you as a professional. Because I saw a lot of people complaining, like, oh, how come this game doesn't look like Streets of Rage 4? And I try to explain to them, like, yo, hand animated shit takes a long time. I think going with the pixel art, you know, made them, allowed them to make the game faster. But I had somebody else push back on me saying, no, pixel art is even more complicated than hand animated. So which is it?
No, it's pixel art is actually a lot easier because you don't need to do as detailed characters. Number one, number two, you can actually do, because you can reuses on a bunch of different portions of your character. You can totally reuse a whole portion of your character and just have certain parts of your character animating.
Yeah.
So pixel art is a lot quicker than actual animation.
That's what.
Why do you think? Yeah. Why do you think? What they can make like a game like Turtles in Time in, you know, In a short amount of time, they made that game quick.
Yeah. Was this one?
3D.com Heroes, right?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. 3D.com.
By the way, Brett, I'm glad you asked that because we were talking about what games need to be remastered from software. Can you please remaster that fucking game? Put it on
3D.com Heroes.
I love that fucking game. But that was all.
I remember all you had to do to design your character was design like a, you know, a pixel body in like 8 different directions.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, you could only fit so many pixels in there. And I can tell you from doing both, drawing something takes way fucking longer.
Yeah. And that's what I try to explain, you know, because obviously I'm not a professional artist like you guys, but I know the craft, right? Like, I know that if you want to animate something, that's a lot of hand-drawn shit you have to do. And if you fuck up, you got to start all over again. Meanwhile, with pixel art, it's already there. Just... I'm not trying to diminish it or whatever, but it's already there. You don't have to start from scratch. If one punch doesn't land, and think about it like this, right? If the animation looks good but it doesn't work well in a game, gotta start it over again, right? But
well, I mean, you can always change it around and stuff like that. But again, doing a pixel like if you ever looked at the amount of time that the guys who made Scott Pilgrim the World actually took to make that game, it's actually there's documentaries about it. Yeah. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah,
it was a short. Like it was like almost like a year or less worth of development time they did on that game. Crazy ass shit. Granted, they were working on that crunch and all that stuff, but at the same time, it is still a lot easier to do than a fully sort of animated thing. Even Streets of Rage is easier than doing actual full on animation. The original, the original Streets of Rage.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is, I was just trying to explain to people, like, this is why it doesn't look like Streets of Rage. It would take a lot longer, and they wanted that game out. You know, this is like a loading game. They want that shit out. You know, they're not gonna.
They want it out. And then the other thing is, they probably don't want to spend a lot of time on it. And then also at the same time, what is the nostalgia? What are they hitting? What are they shooting for?
That's right.
They're shooting for nostalgia. And what's nostalgia? Going back to something similar to what the Konami games looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Even the music, it sounds like that little arcade. Like it sounds like one organ that they're using on it. Because they're not trying to make the new, the new shiny Streets of Rage edition of the game. They're trying to do something that's more akin with the original games, with the original arcade games.
No, and I'm glad
by Nakazato-san, my former boss.
Yay, there you go. Yeah, and this looks, it's kind of funny because this is more true to Turtles in Time than the actual Turtle in Time remake was. Yes. You know?
I'll tell you a little fun thing about that. Turtles in Time remake, you know the reason why they did that, right? Because they didn't have Ubisoft had to do a remake of that game because they didn't have the rights to the original Konami game. That's why that game exists the way it is, because they don't. And also in previous iterations of the Konami version of that game, if you notice, sometimes they're missing certain music from the game, like they're missing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or they're missing the song from the Turtles on Tour or whatever, from Turtles in Time, the Pizza Power song.
Yeah,
it's because they didn't have the rights to use it.
Yeah.
So they had to remove it and put in something else because that costs extra money. Also, another fun little thing about it, any iteration of the Turtles, of the original Ninja Turtles arcade game that you see out there is not the original sidebars.
Uh-oh.
If you ever look at the art on the side, the Turtles are right. They're fine. But they actually, fun thing, all the people on, because they use real photos with cartoons. Like if you notice April O'Neil on there, they actually had to retake the April O'Neil's face on there to a new actress because they didn't have the rights to that woman. Crazy. So yeah, it's a different lady than the original.
By the way, this game looks like you could play as April O'Neil in Splinter. So that game.
I mean, they didn't show them, but I mean, it looks like that. A lot of people have been comparing it to that whatever Ninja Turtles mashup game that they did a while ago, whereas it literally just put a bunch of different sprites from a bunch of different things and made new sprites, and it's literally like every single Ninja Turtle character you can play. But it was a whole totally fan made game.
Oh, what's that? It's like a Musou game or whatever? Not Musou.
No, it's not. It's a beat 'em up.
No, I'm forget. There's Dio, you're in the chat. You know what I'm talking about. There's basically like a fighting game out there. It's been out for like 15
years.
Mugen.
No, it's not like Mugen. It's something else, whatever else they're using. But yeah, it essentially makes you can actually make beat 'em ups inside of it, right?
Yeah.
And what they did was they literally took the sprites from all the different Turtles games and they made new ones for April and Casey. And then they put crazy shit in there like fucking Lino from the Thundercats.
Yeah, that sounds like Mugen.
I can't wait to play as April O'Neil's special attack, Purse Mace, and Splinter's special attack, Geriatric Nap.
Yeah, people were very upset. People are very upset they didn't see Casey Jones in this shit. We're like, hey, where's Casey?
Dude, Casey Jones seems like the one guy you would have in this kind of like the only person in the Turtle universe that just runs around just beating the brakes off of people like that. It's fucking Casey Jones.
You know? Yeah, like he's a natural, not April O'Neil. Get fucking Casey Jones in that.
I mean,
the turtles will at least stop and say, hey, what's going on here? Casey Jones just flies into a blind rage.
That's it, you know.
To quote my old show, he would say Googler.
Googler!
Googler!
It's hilarious. I think we're done here, man. Good stuff. See, we Thor and I, we don't need 50 million motherfuckers, man. Got us. Especially when we get into fights. Manny, you have anything to plug, sir?
Let's see. You know, well, there's Infinite Frontier, which is number zero, which is out right now. You can go pick that up at any comic book store or go to Comixology or anything like that. You can also go and pick up Excellence number 10, which is out there on the comic shelves. Again, digitally too. Also, if you're interested, right now on Kickstarter, we just funded not long ago. But if you still are interested in it, there is the Ultimate Edition of Excellence, which is right now we're going into our next batch of stretch goals. Now you can get a really awesome poster, and then you can get we're getting a cool new like foil looking cover that's going to happen for it, which will look pretty cool. So yeah, we're almost at that goal right now. I think this ends on the 24th of March, so keep an eye out.
Good stuff.
I think this weekend I'm going to be doing another edition of Throwdown Draws.
Nice.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. All right. I want to give another shout out to Sub Gata, who won Immortals Phoenix Rising from us. And you see, it's still in the shrink wrap. Yeah, I didn't open this shit. It's all yours, buddy. So I'll hit you up and I'll send you the game out ASAP. And that'll be good. So congrats. And we're going to have more games to give away to you guys. Actually, it's kind of, I just realized something right now. Back in the day, for Throwdown, we would pretty much do something special-ish every 25 episodes, just because, you know, we're like comic books and shit. We stopped doing that, but this is episode 325, so it's good that we gave away a game on 325, you know? And we'll definitely be giving something away on 350, which is going to be first week of September, you know? That's what I love about Throwdown. I know exactly when all our episodes are going to drop, you know, which is cool. All right, man, so that's going to do it for us. So make sure you follow us on the Twitch, Twitters, and YouTube, Discord, all that good stuff. And if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, all that good stuff. Links to all that other good stuff is down below. And make sure you visit ThrowdownShow.com to listen to past episodes. So once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Brett Murdoch.
See you, people.
All right, guys. Sunday later.